No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manouk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Gentlemen, I fell asleep after the first period. What did I miss?
Not much.
Not much at all.
Six Avalanche goals, Drew.
No, Ezzy, come on. You got to be kidding me.
Six
no
in a row.
No team gives up six goals unanswered in the last 40 minutes of a game. That can't happen. Oh, wait. It just did. Colorado 6, the Winnipeg Jets 3. The Jets led 3-0 after 20 minutes and then went quickly from bad to worse over the final 40. Nice to see both of you. How are you doing on this Friday night? Dave M., welcome home. Glad to see you made it back safe and sound in one piece.
Thanks, Drew. Good to be back. Nice to get a little away from this town and get some perspective, a.k.a. sun.
Yes, some sun with some warmth. Tell us what's that like. That's something I think we'd all like to, you know, once again remember one day in our life soon, because I don't believe there was any snow where you were.
No, seeing grass was a different sort of thing, and trees and actually being outside and not scurrying for the indoors. It was nice to experience that. It felt weird to travel. It's been 2 years since I was last on a plane, so that was nice. But a little father son cousin, uncle, trip up to California. So it was a good time.
Lovely. Glad to hear you enjoyed yourself and it all went well. Guys, this is an embarrassment. We're going to go into it. We're going to go goal by goal like we do here on the post-game show. But just from the absolute macro level of this is an embarrassment that should be felt throughout the Winnipeg Jets organization and should give them clarity, if they didn't already have it, as to truly where they stand when it comes to their talent level versus the elite in the NHL. Because Colorado's elite, no question about that. And the Jets looked like the junior varsity against the varsity in tonight's game.
Well, I mean, you got to obviously start with the first period and everything was looking up, and then obviously everything started to change. Once the Colorado Avalanche started to skate, like through the neutral zone, it was just way too easy for the Avalanche to generate offense. And once again, guys, we saw the Jets shooting themselves in the foot. Like the first goal was, I would classify that as a weak goal. That was Landeskog's first goal right in front of Connor Hellebuck. And, you know, that's just through the five hole. And it doesn't count as a power play goal. It was, I think, 2 seconds after the power play had expired. Scheifele took a pretty bad penalty, tripping Nathan MacKinnon. So the first goal was obviously a little weaker. And then most of the other goals, guys, were, you know, self-inflicted, right? Like, you know, I know you probably want to start with some of the Jets' goals, Drew, but I mean,
I just want to talk before we get into the goals. I just want to talk about the entirety of this game, the 60 minutes of it, where you have the Jets come out and they have a successful first period in that they're up 3-0. So you can't take that away from them, Dave M. But, I thought that the score didn't necessarily accurately reflect the pace of the game in that first 20 minutes. The Jets definitely dominate on the scoreboard being up 3-0, but it's not like they were really taking it to Colorado. I thought they were just quite opportunistic in getting those first three goals. That's not to take anything away from them. You know, you get the goals, you deserve to get the goals. Mm-hmm. But at no point in time did I feel as though the Jets and the Avalanche were really playing the same game.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's fair to say that the Jets were up 3-0, but it didn't feel like it was a 3-0 game. It wasn't completely, in the Jets' favor in that first period. Now, they had a lead, and as you said, Drew, you know, at the end of the day, the score is what the score is. You can't, you have to respect it. But yeah. I mean, Ezzie's 100% right. I mean, the second period, ignoring the fact that the Avs came out like a house on fire, knowing that they're 300,000 points ahead of the Jets in the standings, and they should have been playing better than that. But the reality is they obviously outshot the Jets like 11-0 to start the period. Yeah. And the neutral zone was easy, and they looked like a team, like they had looked good, but Hellebuck had played well, and the Jets got the goals. So I mean, you can't fault the Jets, right? I mean, Adam Lowry scores shorthanded. I mean, that's a huge benefit, you know. Mm-hmm. Evgeny Svechnikov, nice play by Pierre-Luc Dubois to get that puck over Josh Morrissey. Svechnikov going through the crease. The Jets were doing all the right things in that first period, but then it started to change, and you know, this Avs team is just too good to sit back on, and they just started to take over the game. And we know, I mean, the rest is history, as they say.
You know, let's get into it. So the Jets open the scoring at the 2:13 mark, and it's Kyle Connor, his 30th year, 30 goals for Kyle Connor. He's on pace. You know, he's going to get 40, might even get close to 50. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, you can't blame Kyle Connor. He's been everything the Jets would hope for and everything the Jets have paid for and more this year. Assist to Dubois and Brendan Dillon, and it's everything you like to see. It's a great stretch pass by Dillon. You know, Pierre-Luc Dubois gobbles it up. He gains the zone, gets a shot on Pavel Francouz, gets his own rebound, gets another shot on Francouz, and it's only after the second rebound that Kyle Connor jumps on the loose puck and wires it past the Avalanche goalie, and it's 1-0 Jets. You know, two big juicy rebounds. The Jets take advantage. Great start to the game for the Jets, scoring 2 minutes and 13 seconds into the game, something that they've had trouble doing, opening the scoring a lot as of late.
Yeah, you just broke down the goal pretty good there, Drew. No, I'm serious. I mean, that was all PLD there, right? Like, mm-hmm. You mentioned that it was the second chance as he's falling, and then obviously Kyle Connor just jumps on the rebound. Francouz just gives up way too much of a rebound. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I mean, that's the type of start and the type of goal that you want. We've talked about it, you know, even strength goals, hard to come by for the Jets all season long, especially off of transition, right? Like that's off of transition, maybe not the classic style of a transition goal, but yeah, it was a really nice goal. And I thought Dubois was an absolute monster in the first period. Obviously in the third period, he lost his temper and, you know, he went to the dressing room for an early shower there. Obviously, the game was over at that point, boys. It was 6-3. But, yeah, on that goal, that was just pure to me. We got to give Dillon credit. I mean, really nice stretch pass. But to me, that goal, I mean, Dubois, I think, probably deserves two assists for that one.
It's certainly a great goal by Dubois. And he, you know, the second goal, which comes, you know, 5 minutes and 35 seconds later at the 7:48 mark. It's Svechnikov, his fourth of the year, assist to Morrissey and Dubois. And it's another great play by Dubois, Dave. And you mentioned it. He walks the blue line, keeps the puck in. All the Avalanche players go towards him, abandoning Josh Morrissey. And if we've learned anything about Morrissey this year is that he has a pretty damn good shot. He wires it and Svechnikov gets the tip on it. And it's 2-0 Jets, not 10 minutes into this game. Jets got to be feeling pretty good about themselves.
Yeah, and Pierre-Luc Dubois has got to be feeling good about the way mm-hmm. he's playing that game because he, as he says, he was like a bull in a china shop there with guys on his back, and the way he maintained the, you know, control of the puck at that blue line was impressive, right? And so he held on to it, draws two, and if he's got two, Paul Mouth says, there's one guy who's probably free. And so he knows where Morrissey is, finds him perfectly, and credit to Svechnikov, right? I mean, we talked about throwing Svechnikov back up with Connor and Dubois because of the muscle memory from earlier in the season. And they seem to be clicking. They seem to be the only Jets line right now that's clicking. So at least it's 5-on-5. So, I mean, a good play by the Jets. And yeah, you're right, Drew. They're feeling good after about themselves after, you know, that period of time, just up 2-0 on a very good Colorado team, who I think, what was their home record, right, coming into tonight's game? I mean, they've lost three games, I think, in regulation.
Two or three, something like that. Some absolutely ridiculous record at home. I mean, just tremendous. So, I mean, you knew that this wasn't going to be an easy game for the Winnipeg Jets, but you're up 3-0. You get to be up 3-0. And then the way that they absolutely just folded like a cheap suit, is really where all the problems are going to come in. And of course, we're going to get into that in the course of the post-game show. The Jets make it 3-0, as I mentioned. It's Adam Lowry. He gets his fifth of the year. Guy hasn't scored in forever, and all of a sudden they're coming in waves for him, relative waves. It's a great shorthanded goal. It starts with Nathan Beaulieu actually blocking the shot. Josh Morrissey is in the box for slashing. Nate Beaulieu blocks the shot. It ends up on Dominic Toninato's stick. He sort of sends it into open ice, and Adam Lowry sort of had a burst of speed that I really didn't know that he had. He sort of found an extra gear there, and he rifled a really good shot past Francouz, and it's 3-0 Jets. Holy hell, folks, what's going on? 3-0, pretty good, Ezzy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you mentioned, you know, Lowry kind of, you know, the speed and everything like that. It almost, I always think this with bigger guys, like, you know, if you're 6'5", or in Logan Stanley's case, 6'7", like, because you're that size, like, you're not a good skater, right? Like, Lowry's a good skater. It's not the fastest guy in the NHL, but you guys know what I'm saying. I think everybody would agree when he needs to, he can turn it on. And you're absolutely right. Like, Nate Beaulieu, obviously, you know, is the defenseman on Nathan MacKinnon's first goal. He just gives him too much time. So it's unfortunate for Nathan Beaulieu, you know, that happened later. But, you know, that was a big boy block. And I mean, that's what Beaulieu is really good at, right? Like, that's what he's in the lineup for. He's not in the lineup for his defense. Pardon me, his offense. He's in the lineup for his defense. So, yeah, Beaulieu deserves that assist there off of the shin pads. And give Lowry credit, because that was a lot of skating, right? Like, he skates from his own zone and chases down the puck. And you're right, that was a really nice shot. Like, Pavel Francouz, that's probably one that you want to have. But give Lowry, you know, a lot of credit for that bad angle shot. And I agree with what you're saying, Drew. I mean, the thing, again, that's so disappointing about tonight's loss is the Jets were in control of this game. Like, when you're up 3-0 on the road, you can't ask for anything better than that. And I agree with you. I mean, Francouz wasn't the sharpest in the first period, and the Avalanche had their chances, and Hellebuck made some big saves. But when you are spotted a 3-goal lead, and you need this game because you've already lost the first two games of the road trip, and you only have 1 point and you're out of the possible 4 points, I mean, it's just really inexcusable. And obviously, you knew the Avalanche were going to push back, and you knew that they were going to score some goals. But I just thought that this, you know, got out of hand, you know, really quickly. And, you know, I thought, you know, even though the first goal I mentioned, Landeskog scored, I thought, you know, Hellebuck, that's one he should probably have, even though it's easy for me to say that. And Landeskog's a really skilled player, and he obviously, that was a set play. Like, he knew what he was doing there. Landeskog has scored a lot of goals in the NHL.
Yeah, he walks out. It's just a jam play.
Fault.
Well, I mean, some of those goals weren't great, and we'll get into them one at a time. You know, it's 3-0 for the Jets after 20 minutes, and I think this tells you a little bit about the mindset and the psyche about a lot of Winnipeg Jets fans and a lot of people who've watched this team all year long. For those who are gambling oriented, let's say, if they chose to look at the odds after the first period with the Jets leading 3-0, you'd find that the Colorado Avalanche paid plus 320. What that means is that if you wagered $100 on the Colorado Avalanche in the first intermission, you'd win 320. Well, a lot of people knew what this Jets team is and what the Avalanche team is. Yours truly included, and wagered on the Avalanche because they knew that this Jets team isn't built to protect the lead, especially against a talented team like the Avalanche. And that's, lo and behold, what we saw over the final 40 minutes. Let's get into the final 40 minutes because it gets ugly and it gets from bad to worse pretty quickly. Landeskog, as you mentioned, Ezzy, gets his 26th of the year at the 3:10 mark of the second period. Mark Scheifele is in the penalty box for tripping. The penalty just expires, and Landeskog sort of just walks out from behind the net, and it's just a jam play. There's nothing pretty about it, Dave. There's nothing fancy about it. He just is able to jam the puck through Connor Hellebuck, and the Avalanche have life early in that period. And it's almost even more backbreaking for the Jets. Not backbreaking, but it's more damaging for the Jets because they probably felt pretty good about themselves in thinking that they were able to kill off that penalty that Scheifele had taken. But just as it ends, basically, the Avalanche are able to get that goal. Not officially a power play goal, but for all intents and purposes, it is. And it's 3-1. And immediately, the Jets looked a bit shell-shocked, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, that's 3 minutes into the second period, right, Drew? So, or just over 3 minutes into the second period. And so you've got a situation where you already felt it. Colorado was coming on. You knew that they were applying the pressure. And Colorado's too good a team to, you know, they're allowed to have one sleepy period. But you're not allowed to have a sleepy period against them because they're too good to do that too. And, yeah, I was actually surprised because I thought Hellebuck's positioning looked good on that play. And like you said, I agree. He made a couple of he gave up a couple that were just questionable.
Thinkers. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But that one, I was actually surprised. I don't know how he got beat on it because he looked like he had everything covered properly, but you know, the puck snuck under him and into the back of the net. And yeah, you gave the Avs the life after preventing them from gaining anything for any momentum from that power play. So you're right. It's not a backbreaker, but it really gave Colorado a chance to gain some momentum when you had already felt that they'd started to get some, but maybe if they don't score, they don't have that reward and it holds you in a little bit longer. Unfortunately for the Jets, they gave up the goal and it gave Colorado that life that they needed to kind of get rolling in that second period.
That's right. And roll they did. They rolled right over the Winnipeg Jets from that point on. You can mark it, you know, as the clear line of demarcation in tonight's contest. It's, you know, it's 3-1 at that point in time. And I tweeted this, that it's like the Jets are holding on for dear life for the final 35 minutes of the game. And that doesn't work. You know, they just didn't have, you know, when the Avalanche pushed, the Jets didn't have any push back. It's a sign of a team that has no confidence. It's a sign of a team that's fragile. It's a sign of a team that doesn't have as much skill as Colorado. That's no question. Colorado is heads and shoulders more skilled than the Winnipeg Jets. And yes, the Jets are without, you know, key members of their team. But even with those key members, there's a difference between the two teams skill set wise. The Avalanche make it 3-2, Ezzy. It's Nathan MacKinnon. It's his first of the game. It comes at the 12:20 mark of the second period after wave after wave after wave after wave that the Avalanche were throwing at the Jets. Assist to Burakovsky and Rantanen, and it's 3-2 at that point in time. And boy, oh boy, you felt it get even tighter around the Winnipeg Jets collars at that point.
Yeah, Nathan MacKinnon just was given too much space there, really. That's what it boiled down to. Mm-hmm. And there was way too much space in the neutral zone again. So really, you did get the feeling at that point that it was just a matter of time before Colorado tied it up.
Yeah, I mean, look, Nate Beaulieu defending against Nathan MacKinnon is a mismatch. And this is what I don't understand. This isn't going to turn into the blame Nate Beaulieu post-game show. Because Nate Beaulieu has his limitations. I know his limitations. Ezzy knows his limitations. Dave knows his limitations. Anybody that watches hockey knows his limitations. You're playing on the road against the Colorado Avalanche team. You don't think the Avalanche and Jared Bednar and their coaching staff and all of their players are going to be targeting Nate Beaulieu and getting the matchups they want against Nate Beaulieu? Of course that's what they're going to do. It's playing into their hands. I'm not sure what Dave Lowry expects from Nate Beaulieu. You know, yes, Beaulieu drops too deep into his own zone and gives a great shooting lane to Nathan MacKinnon. But if he steps up on MacKinnon, MacKinnon just walks around him. Nate Beaulieu is too limited in his skill set now at this stage of his career to handle Nathan MacKinnon. You didn't need to watch it happen in order to know that it was likely going to happen. I just don't understand the process that comes into that decision. If you go with Logan Stanley, look, Nathan MacKinnon very easily could have made Logan Stanley look silly as well. But at least Logan Stanley has the reach, has the size. He's going to be able to, he's got more quivers in his arrow in which to defend against players like MacKinnon.
I think we all agree Logan Stanley should be in over Beaulieu. Let's go to the next goal.
Well, I just don't understand, though, what the logic is and what the thinking is. That's the issue I have here, Dave, is that you're setting yourself up to fail with some of these decisions. It's just continues to be bewildering to me how you can justify it.
Yeah, I mean, Drew, as we've long said, Nate Beaulieu is a 7, you know, 8th defenseman on a good team. He shouldn't be in the lineup. It's pretty obvious for most people, I would suggest. So, I mean, if you need him, you can throw him in there, you know, like I said, spot duty, better than having prospects languishing in the press box. But, you know, I mean, I think it was, like you said, I think it was pretty clear when he was walked a couple of times. And look, I mean, it wasn't a good goal on Connor Hellebuyck. I mean, Connor Hellebuyck shouldn't have given that goal up.
Right? That shot wasn't bad. That shot wasn't as bad as some of the other goals that Hellebuyck gave up in tonight's
game. Sure, but I mean, it's usually one you think he would have. So, I mean, like, I look, as much as you want to blame Beaulieu, I mean, it wasn't a good goal by Hellebuyck either.
Fair enough. I can accept your opinion there. It's 3-2 at this point in time after that goal. So the Jets still have a lead. You know, it's sort of hard to believe because it feels like the roof is caving in at that point, but they still have a lead at 3-2. Well, that lasts for a little less than 5 more minutes. Landeskog gets his 2nd of the game, assist to Nichushkin and Nazem Kadri. And now, at the 17-17 mark of the second period, it's 3-3. And, you know, that's how the second period ends. I mean, you can talk about the Landeskog goal. I believe that was the tip. It was a very nice tip.
On that goal...
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, did you want to do it or...
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so on that goal, I mean, it's just a bad turnover. I mean, Kyle, Mikko Rantanen coughs up the puck, and Adam Lowry is there, and he just has a little back pass to Kyle Connor. It's Eric Johnson, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, pinches, and then Nazem Kadri gets the puck back to Valeri Nichushkin, and it was a nice tip, but, I mean, that's just a play in which, you know, the Jets have to transition out of their own zone. So, again, that's an unforced error. And that's what's so disappointing about tonight's loss is, you know, you had a lot of that in tonight's game.
Yeah, you have to play, you know, basically perfect to beat the Colorado Avalanche, Dave. And then the Jets, I mean, you know, expecting perfection is probably too much. It's not realistic. But then you have these unforced errors that compound the matter. In addition to, you know, just being, you know, out talented, which isn't actually a word, of course, but the talent disparity, you know, adds even more to it when you have unforced errors like that.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it, and as he mentioned it off the top, and he's 100% right. I mean, the transition by Colorado, was so good, especially through that neutral zone. And I saw some of the comments in the chat, and they're not wrong. I mean, it was like watching an NHL team against a junior B team, I should say. And you could see they were dancing around, and the Jets were lucky to be in there, and you could sense it. Like, they were lucky to go into the second intermission, just tied 3-3.
Right.
And, you know, and you're sitting there and you're looking at this team and you're thinking to yourself, like, how do they not have any pushback? You know, I mean, you're supposed to have something. And you don't have anything. You have nothing in the tank. And I saw the quote, Mike McIntyre was quoting Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Yeah.
And he said they just weren't fast. And he said that they were not here. You've got to fight fire with fire. Still trying to find their identity. Yeah. Pierre-Luc Dubois got too slow and passive after the first period against an elite team. And that's true. And that's what they did, right? And so you can't do it. I mean, it's just clear as day. I don't think anybody's going to think that that's rocket science by that statement. I mean, you can't do, like, look, Colorado's got what, 60 points now?
Yeah.
Or they, you know, they, like they, or they, whatever it is, they've got 20, 20 something points or 25 more points than the Jets. It's like a world of difference between 20, the Jets.
27 after tonight's victory. Yeah. 27 points after difference between the Jets and the Avalanche.
And the crazy part is for the Winnipeg Jets is that if you think about this, you've buggered up the game against Dallas, and that was a game you should have had. And you had a 3-0 lead against a very good Colorado team that if you showed any heart and any commitment to playing like a team, then perhaps you walk out with points. You're not that far. You wouldn't have been that far out of the playoffs. Like, that's the crazy thing. You found yourself 6 points out, despite the fact that you haven't played well. You've lost, what, 4 games in a row now? And you would have only been, in theory, if they would have won tonight, they'd be 4 back of Edmonton in the second wild card spot. So, I mean, it's crazy to think that this is a team that, like, it looks like it's the end of the line for them. But really, they're, in theory, not that far back. And yet, they're pissing it away. And yeah, it's only game 52, but it's also game 52. And you have 30 more. And we're seeing with all of these games going to extra points or, you know, extra time, overtime, shootouts, whatever, that teams are gaining points. So, you know, it doesn't look like a lot, but it actually ends up being quite a bit.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's just, it is hard to believe. And then, so the third period begins and you've had a horrible second period, but silver lining, it's tied. The game is tied. You flushed, you know, the first period, you won. Second period, you lost badly, but you only got to win the third. It's all you got to do. And there was no push. It's, to me, Ezzy, that's as concerning as the fact that they gave up 6 unanswered goals. Is that when the third period begins and you have an opportunity to get back into the game or retake the lead just by scoring 1 goal, you had nothing. They had no push. They had no fight. Burakovsky gives the Avalanche the lead, the game-winning goal, at the 56-second mark of the third period. A bad goal. This one was a real bad goal by Connor Hellebuck. But where is the professional pride to try and get either the tying goal or just to stay in the game?
Well, if you want to just talk about this goal, it wasn't just Hellebuck that makes a bad play. Pionk turns the puck over in the neutral zone. It's a terrible line change. And, you know, you say they don't come up with a fight. I mean, Lowry came up with a massive hit to start out with the third period. So obviously he was fired up and ready to go. Obviously the Jets, you know, lost this game, Drew, but I'm saying Lowry was doing his best and Lowry had a really strong game. All I'm saying is it's like that hit did absolutely nothing. Nobody was paying attention. That didn't inspire anybody. So that's all I'm saying. But I mean, it was just an awful line change, really, is what led to this goal, because nobody was in position. I mean, there was absolutely nobody in position there. And I think it was Dylan DeMello back, if I'm not mistaken. And he's the only person back, and it's, you know, it's just a cluster F. And that's what happened on that goal. To me, it was really the line change. Obviously, the turnover didn't help, but you had Brendan Dillon already going off the ice, and Josh Morrissey couldn't do much because he had just got on the ice and he was coming back into the play. So he can't do much, right? So it was just an awful line change. I don't know how a line change like that happens that early in the third period when the game's tied.
It's hard to believe that at game 52, there's still no cohesiveness on this team, to your point, Ezzy, talking about the bad line change there being a factor in what turns out to be the game-winning goal. It's just, it's like these guys still oftentimes are playing as if they've just met each other for the first time before puck drop. That, to me, is the most perplexing part of this. Look, the Jets don't have as much talent as the Avalanche do. That's clear to anybody. But it goes deeper than that for me, in that they just don't seem to have any synchronized approach. And no matter how close they are to the playoffs and the standings, it's hard to believe that that synchronized approach is going to come if it hasn't come through the first 52 games, that it's all of a sudden going to come in the last 30, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, it may be, Drew, but it'll be probably too little too late at that point. And you're going to be left going, well, you know, we had a good run. We had a good run, but, you know, we ran out of runway. Well, that's all well and good while you're golfing and the rest of the NHL is playing in the playoffs. But I mean, those are just excuses, and excuses are for losers. So I think ultimately you have to, it's what you're going to show on the ice that really matters. Not the spiel you give us after the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, oh, we liked our effort. You know, we played, come on guys. You can't say that. You can't play this Jets team. There's one thing that's been consistent about this Jets team. More often than not, we're not talking about a 60-minute effort. And we're talking about one thing I was thinking as I was watching this game was, well, at least you can blame the loss on everybody. Like, Hellebuck wasn't great. The rest of the team wasn't great. As said, and I agree, Pierre-Luc Dubois was good. Adam Lowry looked good.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, like, it wasn't a great effort. And, you know, it's become a common theme in these shows when we talk about, you know, really good teams can afford to do that, right? The Colorado Avalanche, and I wouldn't even say they fell asleep. They didn't even play because, like you said, Drew, they were in the first period. Yeah. I think Vancouver didn't have the best game, but like overall, like Colorado was still in that first period. But like, you know, the Jets, these situations they put themselves in, right? Whether it's against Pittsburgh or whomever.
Yeah.
And they allow teams to, you know, get back into contest. The Dallas game, you know, there's so many examples this season that you can point to. And again, and what the Jets are going to realize, I think, is that when you have to tabulate the points at the end of the year, as I think, as he mentioned this either last show or the last Saturday show, you're going to look back at all of these games that you lost to the Vancouvers and the Arizonas and the Seattle, whatever it is, and you're going to lament them. Because you're going to say, well, wait a second. Why aren't we in the playoffs? Well, it's because we lost all of these games and we gave away points to games like Pittsburgh. And there's so many examples, unfortunately, for the Jets throughout the course of the season. So they're showing you who they are. And, you know, in the NHL, some teams, the old Jets, the 2017-18 Jets, could sometimes forget to play. Yeah. I mean, if that's the problem, right? Some of these guys still think that they are the 17-18 Jets. That team was good enough. If they didn't play a full game, that they could come back and play and win. And I mean, Ezzy and I were in that building for so many of those games. And even if the Jets were down in the third period,
yeah, Drew, where were you?
I had kids, unfortunately. Or
Ezzy would look over at me and he'd be like, well, you know, the Jets are coming back in this game.
They could outscore their problems, right? Like, that's right. They really could. Hellebuck was, you know, one of the best goalies in the league, if not the best goalie in the league. And they had, you know, that right side with Buff Trouba and Tyler Myers, not to mention, you know, Patrick Laine and Ehlers coming into their own, right? And, you know, just skipping ahead, though, Dave, to the fifth goal, like, you know, I mentioned the unforced errors. Like, you know, you go back and I just watched the replay from NHL.com and, like, you know, I don't want to pick on Nate Schmidt here because I believe he was at the end of a shift on that fifth goal. But, you know, Nathan MacKinnon forces him to turn over the puck to Mikko Rantanen. Then the puck goes back into the corner to the left of Hellebuck. Kyle Connor just gets beat by Andrei Burakovsky. Like, it's a, you know, what do they call it, Drew, in basketball? It's a, like a jump ball, right? Like, it's it's Kyle Connor and Burakovsky, like whoever wants it. It's just a one-on-one battle. Mm-hmm. And then it goes back to the point. And so, I mean, there's a turnover by Nate Schmidt. And then Kyle Connor gets beat a one-on-one battle. And then it's 5-3. And we knew, once it was 5-3, it was pretty much over. Like, well, you know, if it's a one goal game, the Jets are still in it, but, you know, and then obviously, you know, the Landeskog hat trick really makes it out of reach for the Jets. But to me, that's kind of what sums up this Jets team. Like, you know, bad line changes, guys staying on too long, turnovers, just getting beat to pucks. Like, I didn't think, you know, that the Jets effort was good enough, as we talked about earlier in that final period. Like, this is a game in which you're up 3-0, but it's still tied, as Drew mentioned. So that's the silver lining. And you didn't put up enough of an effort. You didn't, you know, execute. You didn't have enough chances. I mean, the Jets were badly outshot in the second, but they were badly outplayed again in the third period. So it's kind of the same old stuff that we've seen throughout the season. And the unfortunate thing is, as Dave said, if the Jets could have managed to pull out a clean 2 points here, I mean, they're right in it with Edmonton and Dallas and LA and all these teams. And now you're looking at this and you're thinking, okay, even if you beat Arizona and even if you beat Montreal, you've lost four in a row. So now you have to win something like six or seven games to get back in it. Like, this loss tonight was probably, you know, the worst loss of the three, even though the Calgary game was pretty bad because it looked like the Jets were going to win that one. Mm-hmm. But you know, exactly. At least get a point. But this game tonight was, considering the start, you know, it couldn't have gone any better with Pavel Francouz basically letting everything in. I mean, not taking anything away from the goals, because, you know, they were hardworking goals. And when it comes to Lowry's goal, that was a beauty. Mm-hmm. But it's so frustrating because you just see the same things repeated over and over again. And there's no reason to think, you know, at game 52, anything's going to change at this point.
Well, you know, to your point, Ezzie, you know, so Burakovsky scores at the 56-second mark. Yeah, it's a deflator, but you're still within a goal. And it wasn't until the 12-13 mark that MacKinnon made it 5-3 and, you know, officially iced the game. The Jets weren't coming back from two down. But between the 56-second mark, between Burakovsky's goal and MacKinnon's goal, where was the push? Where was the professional pride that said, you know, F this, you know, we were up 3-0, now we're down 4-3. I can't let this happen. And I, being, you know, the collective eye of the Jets players, demanding that they get back into the game, or demanding that they tie it up, or at least demanding that they get an opportunity. And there was none of that. There was power play opportunities. Remember, Rantanen took a penalty at the 4:03 mark of the third period. The Jets had a power play while they were only down a goal, weren't able to capitalize. It's just that the give a damn factor when the adversity was right there was not good enough.
Well, and to me, I agree, Drew, and I think, you know, in that third period, like, let's be honest, the Jets weren't playing their fourth line much, right? And Lowry's line, obviously, I mean, you know, like, you're not, all due respect to the third line, I mean, that's not who you're expecting to score. So it was disappointing because Connor Dubois and Svechnikov obviously were in on the goals in the first period. Mm-hmm. Not all of them, but, you know, they were playing really well, so that line kind of disappeared a little bit. And, you know, Scheifele, Stastny, Wheeler, I didn't think had a bad game, but I just didn't think they were generating enough offense. Like, you got to have the puck, boys. And if you look at natural stat trick, which I just did,
yeah,
I mean, it was over 60% the possession for Colorado at even strength, at least, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they didn't have the puck. There wasn't enough sustained pressure. There wasn't enough shots. There wasn't enough everything. More anything, more everything, right? So, I mean, it just,
yeah,
it's just so disappointing because I agree with you. I mean, even if Ehlers and Kopp and Perfetti are in the lineup, I mean, Colorado's probably still got, you know, more skill. But, I mean, there's no excuse because, again, I hate to harp on it, but they were up 3-0. So, like, they had that cushion. And even if Colorado's pushing back and you tie the game up, like, you were in a good position in this game even after two periods. I mean, you kind of got the feeling, you know, that Colorado had all the momentum in the third period, right, Dave? But it's just some of the unforced errors and the passive play. I mean, look at the sixth goal. I mean, you want to get into the sixth goal?
I mean, I was going to gloss it over, but go ahead.
Well, Josh Morrissey flips, you know, he flips a pass to Scheifele. It misses him.
Yeah.
I forget who picked it up, if it was Rantanen or somebody else, or it was Landeskog got the goal.
Landeskog from Nichushkin and Kadri.
Right. So I think it's Nichushkin, if I'm not mistaken, that picks up the puck in the neutral zone. And then the Avalanche come in, and then Scheifele just doesn't pick up, you know, Landeskog going to the net.
Mm-hmm. Well, Manishtana, which is Hebrew for, you know, basically it's a euphemism in Hebrew for what's new today. You know, why should today be any different than any other day when it comes to Mark Scheifele and his defensive zone coverage? You know, it's a constant with this team. You know, it's a constant. And it's a lack of accountability for some of the players, which I'll get into after the break. It's a lack of any, you know, when the going gets tough, The Jets wilted in the pressure tonight in Denver. We'll go to break. More on tonight's game between the Jets and the Avalanche. Don't go anywhere. You're watching the Illegal Curve postgame show. We're live on our YouTube channel. We're live on all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett. The biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like H-E double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Hey boys, finding parking on game day shouldn't take longer than the Minute Minute.
It shouldn't take longer than 1 minute?
Yeah, less than a minute? I spend at least 20 driving around to find street parking. Or if I'm in a rush to the game, I'll shovel out 20 at a parkade.
You're both doing it wrong. There's this app called Grid Park. It lets you find and pre-book your parking spot on game days. And you can reserve your spot up to 1 month in advance. And guess how much you'll pay?
Tell me, Dave. You know I love a deal.
Ezzy, $5.
Come on, $5?
Yeah, and it's just 2 blocks from the arena.
The Grid Park app?
Yep. Spelled G-R-Y-D Park. And you know what else?
There's more?
Our listeners get their first park free with the code FIRSTPARK.
Wow, so they just download the Grid Park app and pre-book their next game day spot for free?
Yeah, you got it, Ez. Promo code FIRSTPARK. Only on the Grid Park app.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. 20 minutes after 11, welcome back to the Illegal Curve hockey show Friday night. We remind you, Saturday morning, in about 10 hours or so, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show will be back here on this fine YouTube channel. We encourage you to join us as we talk about tonight's game, as we look ahead to Sunday afternoon's game in Arizona, look back at the week that was, look ahead to the trade deadline, which is rapidly approaching. Lots to talk about as it pertains to the Winnipeg Jets. We'll be joined by Jim Toth. We'll be joined by Mike McKenna of DailyFaceoff.com. So join us tomorrow, 9 a.m. for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. While you're here enjoying the postgame show, smash the like button, subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave us comments, leave us feedback, tell a friend, tell a family member. That's what we ask of you. Gentlemen, what do you make of Blake Wheeler, the captain of the Winnipeg Jets, Mark Scheifele, an associate captain of the Winnipeg Jets, two guys who were -4, each of them, in tonight's game. Not that plus minus is the be all and end all, but they certainly weren't good tonight. And even their head coach, Dave Lowry, alluded to that fact. What do you make of neither of them speaking to the media after the game? It was Pierre-Luc Dubois who spoke tonight, and I believe Josh Morrissey as well. But I might not be right about the Morrissey one. I know it was Dubois for sure was the one who spoke first to the media in Denver. If you're the captain of this team, if you're Blake Wheeler, and the entire organization has basically built this team in your image, don't you have to speak after a debacle of this nature?
Yeah, I think so. Because as you mentioned, he's the captain, yeah, right? There's an expectation that the captain will speak. Things have changed a little bit, and I realize the Jets are on the road, and there's not as many media, but that doesn't matter. The point is that Hammer wanted to speak to Blake Wheeler. No, I'm obviously joking. Jeff Hamilton of the Free Press is there, but yeah, no, I think we don't know why. I mean, we don't know what did he just not want to talk to the media?
Well, Hamilton requested him. He requested. So this is what Jeff tweeted. Sorry, Ezzy. This is from Jeff Hamilton's Twitter feed. I requested Blake Wheeler with Pierre-Luc Dubois also an option if Wheeler wasn't made available. I also wanted Adam Lowry, who in my mind is a big part of the leadership group. I'm told we got
Dubois. He also had a great game.
I thought Lowry and Dubois were the two best Jets and the two Jets who played with the most heart from start to finish of tonight's game. I'm told we got Dubois because he wanted to talk after the game. Thus, Wheeler wasn't asked. If you're Blake Wheeler,
that doesn't really make sense to me.
Well,
usually you don't let the players.
Well, this is true.
That's not something that. Well, no, but I mean, that's just not usually how it works. I mean, again, things are different the way it used to be, where reporters would go into the room and they could basically talk to anybody, unless there was a reason why. Yeah. I mean, all three of us have been in many dressing rooms, at Canada Life Center over the years, so we know how it works. But for everybody else, that's usually how it used to work, where you would just go in there and talk to anybody who you wanted. I mean, sometimes guys would leave a little bit early, or they would say they weren't speaking to the media, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I mean, the head coach has to speak, right? And it's usually the captain or the star players or players that had something significant happen in the game. So if a guy scores a goal, he talks to the media, or if the goalie had a really good game, even if the goalie had a bad game, goalies are usually requested and stuff like that. Right. So I don't know, what his reasoning would be or what the Jets' reasoning would be to pick another player over Wheeler. But I mean, they weren't good Wheeler tonight.
Ezzy, Dave, I want you in on this too. Wheeler has to step up and speak.
And yes, I agree.
And look, we know what Blake Wheeler is as a player. He's intense. He's fiery. He's not the nicest guy in the world, but that's okay. Nobody needs him to be your best friend. It's incumbent upon him wearing the C on his jersey and being the highest paid player on this team and having a lousy performance on top of that to come out and own it, to come out and face the media. And with all due respect, it's not like the questions are that difficult. The questions aren't that challenging. Blake,
well, you know what's going to be asked. I mean,
right. Where
did the game turn? I mean, we've heard that type of question when a team is up 3-0, Dave, and then the other team scores 6 unanswered goals, there's a good chance that the questions are going to revolve around what went wrong in period number 2 and period number 3, right? So, but getting back to what you're saying, yes, I think, well, look at fans. I think Jets fans, like, let's hear it in the chat. I think Jets fans would like to hear from Blake Wheeler. I mean, you don't hear from every player after every game, but again, this is the captain we're talking about here. So again, there must have been a reason why he didn't want to talk to the media, but to me, it's not really acceptable, whatever that reason was.
Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a testament to leadership is not when you speak after a big win, but after a loss. And again, because of my I was watching, paying attention.
I don't think that's the real Bobby Hall, by the way, Dave.
No, I thought it was.
It's got a third L in there, but sure that it's the only difference.
Well, but anyways, the point is that it's a responsibility. I don't care if you don't like doing it. It doesn't really make a difference. It's a it's part of the job. I mean, and when you wear the C on your chest, that's just the reality of doing that. And if, you know, you don't like it, well, then don't wear the C on your chest. But you can't just do it in the good times. And like I said, Blake Wheeler's spoken plenty of times when things aren't going well for the Jets. But, I mean, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois and Nate Schmidt spoke after the game on in Calgary. Mm-hmm. Connor Hellebuyck and Josh Morrissey spoke after the game on in Dallas. So if you're the captain of the Winnipeg Jets, why aren't you speaking? I mean, your team has now lost four games in a row.
Yeah.
Your chances of, I mean, so what, you're going to go spank Arizona, maybe, and you're going to come out and speak? Well, I mean, it doesn't really hold a lot of water because it doesn't happen when it needs to. And so that to me is a sign of leadership. Pierre-Luc Dubois spoke, like I said, on Calgary when they lost that game. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't happy, obviously. Well, he's not happy again today. And he chose, I mean, look, and again, Ezzie's not wrong. I mean, the reality is that
it's different. Like you just said, we only get a couple of players, right?
Yeah, but
it's not like it used to be. So, I mean, your likelihood, it's just, look, I think we can all agree that we would have liked to have seen Wheeler as opposed to anyone really, because that's who you want. That's who sets the tone for the team. That's the spokesperson for the team. And, you know, obviously you guys know what I'm talking about, right? But, yeah. You know, let's focus on the play on the ice though. Let's get back to the Wheeler and Shifley play on the ice. They've really stepped up their game over the last couple of weeks.
Wow. But not tonight.
They were clearly outplayed by the Avalanche's best players. Gabe Landeskog, Nathan MacKinnon, Nazem Kadri, Mikko Rantanen, Cale Makar is unbelievable. Cale Makar is going to win a Norris. I don't know if he's going to win it this year. This Avalanche team is absolutely stacked. And then they're talking about bringing in Claude Giroux as the third line center. Like, I mean, this
Avalanche team, what are they? The 2002 Canadian Olympic team?
Well, I know exactly. Well, just the 20 year anniversary just happened, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. Like, I mean, especially considering that, you know, they have elevated their game since the All-Star break. And tonight, they didn't have it. And this is a game in which you have to have it if you're the Jets. Because, yes, you still have a 10% chance at making the playoffs. If you're able to win six or seven games in a row, maybe you get back into a playoff spot. But right now, who thinks this team's going to win six or seven games in a row? No. Obviously, because I just said that I jinxed it, and they're going to win six or seven in a row.
Chance. They just but, don't I mean, have anything.
Honestly, though, guys, like, this is just the leadership. And I think, you know, is it a coincidence that Pierre-Luc Dubois is speaking? Like, could that be the future captain of this team?
Well, it certainly seems that he's the one. Look, if more players played with the level of passion that Dubois and Lowry played with tonight, the Jets would be in a much better position. And that's not fair to guys necessarily like, you know, Dominic Toninato. He played perfectly fine. Or Austin Pagansky played, you know, perfectly fine. Austin Pagansky and Dominic Toninato against basically any of the Avalanche top two lines is just such an epic mismatch that you can't blame the player that much. It's just not a fair comparison. But, you know, from my perspective, Wheeler and Stastny, and not that Shifley was good because he wasn't, but Wheeler and Stastny just looked so slow out there compared to the Avalanche. Now, the Avalanche make a lot of people and players look slow, but it was, to me, especially noticeable that just Wheeler and Stastny just looked like they had no answers for what Colorado was doing to them. And that's a function of their age. You know, it is. They're not as fast as they once were.
And at high altitude.
The high altitude, sure, if you want to go with that there, Mr. Meteorology Dave M, or Mr. Altitude Dave M. But, you know, it's the way the Jets lost and the manner in which it happened and the lack of any fight that is, to me, the most concerning part about.
Well, and that the leadership group let them down again, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's what we're talking about here, because... Right. You know, Adam Lowry aside, we talked about that. He comes out with a big, big hit. I forget who it was on to start the third period. It was like 30 seconds in.
Yeah.
And then obviously there was the bad line change. And then we know what happened there. They score the winning goal there. But Scheifele and Wheeler again, like it's not just that they didn't score any goals. It's that, you know, they were on the ice and they just weren't, they missed assignments or they were on for too long. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, these guys can't just, you know, make their money on the power play. What I mean is, I mean, these are good power play players, but I mean, hockey is not
on five.
Exactly. And Scheifele and Wheeler, for the most part this season, have not been very good at 5-on-5. I mean, the numbers will bear that out. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's an issue with the leadership on this team. And is that going to be addressed at some point, you know, in the off season, you know, I don't know, via trade, like we'll see what's going to happen here. But like, to me, the leaders on this team right now are Pierre-Luc Dubois, Kyle Connor. Like those are your leaders. I'd throw Lowry in there as well. Josh Morrissey. But
yeah,
to me, like Wheeler and Scheifele are, I mean, if that's who's setting the example for your team with that type of shitty defensive play. Like, I'm sorry. I mean, it's enough here. Scheifele, I've said this so many times. Scheifele's a great offensive center. He's horrible defensively.
Yeah.
Just awful. And it's killing the Jets. Uh-huh. It is killing them game after game after game. Just like watch the fifth goal again. I mean, that's Scheifele in a nutshell defensively.
You know, it seems like there's going to have to be a reckoning with how this team is currently constructed, because the Wheeler window, which was something we heard about, Dave, is clear that this team is nowhere near a contender status. And they've built themselves in a manner that seems to indicate that they thought they would be for the next few years. Well,
obviously they thought they would be. They went out and acquired the defense, and they're spending to the cap.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Part of the problem is the fact that this team is unwilling to adjust. And if you know, it's like death taxes and Scheifele and Wheeler together. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they've put on, like you were saying before, they went on a bit of a streak and they got hot and they were, you know, putting up the points. But the truth is, like, a 4-game streak isn't enough to erase 52 games in a season, right? So look, is Blake Wheeler's time as a first line right winger probably over? Yeah, probably. Should Blake Wheeler be on your third line? Yeah, there could be arguments. I mean, look, I would suggest that Dubois, Connor, and whomever is your first line anyways. But the right. But the reality is, are you better served, you know, having Ehlers in that spot, having Perfetti in that spot? I mean, imagine Perfetti with Mark Scheifele. I've been seeing that for a while. Imagine, I mean, obviously he's injured, but you know what I mean? Nikolai Ehlers.
I think you're going to see it as soon as he comes back, Dave. I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't think you are, Ezzy, because I don't think there's anybody in the organization who's willing to have the difficult conversations. Because it might be a difficult conversation. And they've turned the entire dressing room and the entire leadership and the entire raison d'etre over to Blake Wheeler. And when you need to remove it from Blake Wheeler's hands, I don't think there's anybody who can have that conversation. Dave Lowry.
I mean, Drew. I mean, is this a situation like, how many years ago are we talking? Maybe 5 or 6 years ago, 7? I don't know if you guys know where I'm going with this, but when Joe Thornton, remember the hit, he had the C, and then they gave it to Joe Pavelski.
In San Jose. You guys
remember that? What was that, 6 or 7 years ago?
Yeah, about that, something like that.
And then look what happened. They ended up going to the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah. Right?
So, like, I'm not saying that that's going to happen here, but, like, do you have to have a situation where, you know, the real, like, who's I'm sorry, like let's hear it in the chat. Like, to me, I make Pierre-Luc Dubois the captain of this team.
Well, who's having that conversation? I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with you, because the idea that Mark Scheifele is going to be the next captain, I think, is out the window based on his performance this year and the last couple of years. Particularly in a defensive zone, you can't have a captain who's so unaccountable for his own on ice play. But who's going to have that conversation? You got an interim head coach who's not long for the job. He's not having the conversation. Shouldn't be long for the job, I should say. You have a general manager who speaks as often as the groundhog comes out to see his shadow. And even then is on thin ice, I would suggest, should be, whether or not he is, based on his, you know, performance, and never mind the other thing that's been going on all year long, where I said earlier in the season I thought he should have lost his job. Who's having that difficult conversation? Is it the owner?
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. If it's the owner.
I think it has to be, you know, everyone.
Well, but
really, I mean, or not. I mean, it could be Chevy and, you know, somebody else on the team. It could be, you know, Mark Chipman might be involved in that. I'm not sure, but I mean, just watching this, look where the Jets are right now, right? 20th out of 32 teams, mm-hmm. 5 or 6 points, whatever they are, out of a second wild card spot, which, by the way, right now, if whoever is in that second wild card spot, whether it's LA, whether it's Edmonton, is going to get shit kicked by Colorado in the first round. Pardon my language. My kids are asleep. So, I mean,
I'm glad it's 11:40.
Like, honestly, though, you know, 3 years ago, Tampa Bay got swept by Columbus in the first round after having, 125 points?
Yeah.
Dave, what was it? Like, they broke the Red Wings record, 63 wins, whatever it was. So, yes, somebody could pull a Columbus, but come on. This Colorado team, especially if they bring in, like, a guy like Claude Giroux or whoever they bring in, they're already stacked. So, I mean, even if you do make the playoffs in the West, I mean, this has been a monumental failure this season. And anybody who's watched this team can see who has been the heart and soul, and not only heart and soul. I know a lot of people hate, you know, those words, but who has been the best player, the most consistent player, the guy who gives a shit the most. And it's Pierre-Luc Dubois. Kyle Connor is the other guy I mentioned, like, all year long. These are the guys, like Kyle Connor. I realize, like, you know, we talked about on the, what was it, the fifth goal, you know, he gets beat by, I think it was Burakovsky there. Like, he has his defensive shortcomings, there's no doubt. The guy has, you know, 30 goals right now. He's going to easily score 40 goals. So you can't really knock Kyle Connor that much. So to me, like, Dubois and Connor, like, you also have to reevaluate who the core of your team is here, right? Like, is your core used to be Mark Scheifele, you know, Blake Wheeler, Andrew Kopp.
Yeah.
And now the future of your team is Cole Perfetti, Pierre-Luc Dubois, Kyle Connor. I mean, you've got Ville Heinola on the back. Like, there could be massive moves in the offseason if this continues and the Jets miss the playoffs.
Hold the conversation right there. We're going to take that up tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, because we've got to do this again in about 9 hours and 20 minutes time. So there's going to be a deeper, lengthier conversation tomorrow about the state of this franchise, the state of this team, and where they go after tonight's embarrassing defeat. Before we wrap up tonight, though, tough duck, hardest hitting comment, Ezzy. Who do you have for a winner?
Yeah, we're going to give it to Brent Palachuk. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that name right. I think you've got the comment up there. Yeah, I wish a coach would have the balls to sit a star player. Enough is enough. The double standards must cause a rift in the room. I like that because, you know, Brent is talking, obviously, about Scheifele and Wheeler here, most likely. You can make the argument that, you know, a guy like Scheifele probably could have benefited from this a month or two ago, right? And he's obviously having a rough year. And it gives me no pleasure, by the way, to, you know, have to point this stuff out about Scheifele. But it's reality, guys. Like, you know, he's having a decent offensive year, but he just gives away too much defensively, and he just doesn't make reads, and his coverage is just not acceptable. His effort defensively is not acceptable. So I agree with this. I mean, I think that's part of the problem here is when you see guys like Wheeler and Scheifele not playing very well, and then there's no consequences, there's no accountability, I think that rubs off on the rest of the team. So Brent, you have won the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. Send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com. Just send me your mailing address, and then Tough Duck will ship out a toque to you directly.
There you go. Congratulations to Brent Palachuk, tonight's winner in the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. Want to say a big thank you to, of course, all of our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Jay, from Jay and Silent Bob, coming to Rumors. Tickets went on sale, awesome, I believe, earlier today. RumorsComedyClub.com. Don't miss out. That's going to be a special concert series event coming up at Rumors in the next couple months. More info, like I said, RumorsComedyClub.com. Big thanks to Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Grid Park. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. Dave M., you got some Moose tickets.
Yeah, I've got some. I got four tickets to tomorrow's Moose game against the Chicago Wolves. The Moose, you'll remember, when they were down and out without a lot of players, they end up sweeping Chicago in that weekend series. Last time they played them here in Winnipeg. So you're going to have a chance to sit primo seats, four of them, for tomorrow's Moose game. David Gustafson, Ville Heinola, Declan Chisholm, Johnny Kovacevic, a laundry list of Jets draft picks who are playing for the Manitoba Moose right now. They will be playing in action tomorrow when they take on the Chicago Wolves. So if you want to go to the game, if you want to see the Moose and sit in those sweet, sweet IC seats, you're welcome to them. Just send me an email, dave@illegalcurve.com or a DM on at icdave. But yeah, they're good seats. Games at, I think, 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon against Chicago, and then they play again on Sunday. We'll have a Moose Minute at some point when we do our next post-game recap.
Indeed, we will. The Moose, people know when I was doing the Mindell Moose Minute earlier in the week. I took it over for you there, big boy.
Actually pretty good, Dave. Like, I got to give you credit. Like, Drew, it was a good one. It was brief, but yeah. Drew did pay attention. He was taking his notes. He had a nice little scouting report. I give Drew credit.
And my kids.
And he got the free piece of pizza.
I got a free piece of pizza because I think the guy knew who I was, being IC Drew. And my kids devoured the popcorn like nobody's business. So, yes, it was a very entertaining Mindell Moose Minute earlier in the week. But I'm glad to
turn around. Not according to our boy, T. Kona Pauly.
Well, you know, T. Kona, you hurt me with words. You hurt me with words here. In any event, I'm glad to turn over the mantle back to you, Mr. Manuk. And you can stay tuned for that. And, of course, if you want to go to tomorrow's Moose game, send Dave an email, dave@illegalcurve.com or @ICDave on Twitter. We'll be back in 9 hours and 15 minutes for more Winnipeg Jets talk. That's tomorrow morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Jim Toth and Mike McKenna join us as our guests on the program. We want you to be there as well, so come back tomorrow morning and join us in the chat room. If you haven't already done so before you depart for the evening, smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, tell a friend, tell a family member. The best place to be is the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, Saturdays at 9 a.m. and again after every Winnipeg Jets game. For Dave Manuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Until tomorrow at 9 a.m., we wish you good night and good luck. And thanks for watching the Illegal Curve postgame show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow @IllegalCurve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, IllegalCurve.com.